Hi, my name's McKenna, and I'm an artist. This show is my own creative project where I unpack what it means to be an artist through having honest conversations. Today's guest is all of you. I took to Instagram again and asked you guys a question about perception. So I'm excited to get into all of your thoughts on the terrifying subject of being perceived. Hi everyone, welcome back. I am curled up in my bed currently because I'm very tired. And yeah, I'm just pretty burnt out from life right now. It's hard working two jobs and, oh my god, working two jobs and also trying to pursue a career as a songwriter and a singer and like all of these things. It's hard. It just is. But I'm fine. I am just a widow sweepy. Today I'm going to talk about perception, being perceived. And I honestly don't know if I have anything particularly profound to say about this. But this is just how I feel right now, and I think that's still important, even if I don't say anything new. I'm trying to remind myself that I don't have to be some kind of, like, innovative thinker here in terms of artistry and, like, being perceived and all of these things. I can just talk about what is true for me, and if that resonates with someone else, then great. This is something I wanted to talk about right now because at this phase in my life, I hate being perceived and I hate perceiving myself. It's been like really my biggest challenge and one of my only like really big anxiety triggers this year. I feel like my mental health is in like maybe the best place it's ever been in this year. But the one thing that's still been just like a big cause of stress for me is perception and like being seen and all of those things. And it's interesting because I think I really started this podcast to help with that, and it's actually sort of aggravated the problem, which on one hand I think is probably a good thing because I do really believe that if something is out of your comfort zone, you should do it. And like the only way that we get over our fears is by facing them. But it is just interesting that I'm like in this era of wanting to be more of a hermit, and I feel like I'm kind of a sponge this year. Like I'm really just listening to what other people have to say and like reading a lot and taking in a lot of media. And I don't really want to be like voicing my opinion on things right now. So of course I've put myself in a position where I have to do that. But that's okay. And I'm just going to keep doing my best at this, even when it is hard and uncomfortable. Yeah, it's like, it is like being perceived by other people, but it's really like perceiving myself and kind of being really overly critical of the performance of myself that I'm giving, especially on here and on social media too, which I'll get into. But yeah, I think like as much as I try to be really myself on here, if I'm a little bit nervous, I will kind of revert back to a more stiff version of myself. And I still, because I'm not used to this yet, I still don't fully know like how to be myself on here. It still just like feels very awkward to me to have a mic in front of my face and like talk, especially if I have another person in the room with me. I think it's easier for me to do this alone, which is why I've been doing more solo episodes. it's weird. Like, even if it's one of my closest friends, I just feel like the pressure is on, because not only do I have to figure out what I'm gonna say and like get out of my own way with that, I also have to host them and make them feel comfortable and ask them questions and things like that. And I'm a little bit overly critical of myself with like, just, I don't know, I don't want to feel like I was a bad host or like they didn't have a good time being on this show because of me. So yeah, that's been something I've been having a hard time with. But yeah, I think I'm like, just like everyone, like I do have a hard time with hearing the sound of my voice back and being overly critical of the things I say, especially in retrospect, and having some physical insecurities surfacing, and like not really wanting to be filmed, not really wanting to have my picture taken, which again is like not even really about being perceived by other people. It's more about perceiving myself in a way that makes me uncomfortable, which I think at the end of the day is like all really just tied to self-acceptance. I am my own biggest op, you know? And I've had a long journey with self-acceptance and feeling okay with myself and like all of those things that are just hard. And I think like that kind of initial insecurity about being seen or not being good enough, all of these things kind of gets programmed for a lot of people around like middle school. I know that's the time for me when it really started. And then I think like throughout my 20s, the theme has really just been like unlearning that and being okay with myself. And I've kind of gone through like peaks and valleys with this. I would say like near the end of 2022 and through the first half of 2023, I was like the most confident version of myself ever. I felt like I was like, I'm finally healed. I'm good. Like, I love myself. I'm great. Nobody's better than me, and I'm not better than anybody else. Like, just very secure and okay with myself. And then it's like, you know, I remember that healing is not linear. And then, of course, like, some things get re-triggered, and that's fine. That's literally part of being a human being. And I'm trying to remind myself of that. But yeah, it does all like tie back to self-acceptance. And then like with being perceived by other people, I think I've been having a particularly hard time with social media this year. I think I've been on there the least amount that I've ever been in my life, which is saying something because I'm still pretty active. But I've taken a few breaks, which has been good. And I think I'm going to start doing that like more consistently. I think everyone should. And I think one of the reasons why social media has been hard for me of late is because I can't really see in real time how people are reacting to me. So it feels a bit more out of control than if I'm face to face with someone. And that is kind of spooky. I also think it's interesting how we do kind of perform as ourselves online, and how it kind of becomes this weird extension of yourself, which is really easy to become overly obsessed with. And we all like kind of feed into that performance of social media. I guess I shouldn't say all, but those of us who are present online, it's like, even if you are like a pretty authentic person on social media, I still feel like everyone does it. And I think the like whole perception thing on there is again like really easy to become kind of obsessed with, because we do get this like dopamine hit from being perceived and perceiving ourselves. And like no one watches my Instagram story more than me, you know? It's like, and like we all do that. There is like something that we get out of that like perception and that performance. I think right now I'm having a hard time with that actually, because as much as I might like something that I posted now, I always wonder if in 6 months to a year, if I'll like be embarrassed of it, because that's happened before where I like, I'll go back through my archive sometimes and watch my old Instagram stories. And I'm like, what was I doing? Like, why was I posting this? And it's not even anything bad. It's really just like my tendency to want to like overshare a little bit that I think like irks my present version of myself who like doesn't want to overshare. So that's been just like a weird thing I've been grappling with, and I don't know when it will go away or if it ever will, or you know, if I'm just going to have to like establish a new relationship with social media and set boundaries around it, which I honestly think is a good thing. So yeah, those are my thoughts there. I think also with like the conversation about self-acceptance and not feeling good about ourselves, when I am not feeling good about myself, I automatically start assuming that other people think negatively about me. And vice versa, when I'm feeling really good about myself, I'm more likely to assume that people think positively about me, which I do think can be a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I do find that people reflect back to you what you believe to be true about yourself. This isn't always the case, and obviously this like this conversation about perception, like that's like perceiving what you think another person's perception of you is, and that could be correct or incorrect. But I do think that there is truth to like when you carry yourself with confidence and when you carry yourself in a way that tells people that you are loving towards yourself, they're more likely to like you. Whereas like insecurity is a repellent in a way. I'm actually gonna lose my mind right now. I waited all day for my house to be quiet, and now there's a goddamn ice cream truck outside of my house. I need to find somewhere else to record. I'm gonna lose my mind. I've moved to my bathtub. You can still hear it through the wall. It's fine. This is the only time I have to record this, and it has to be out tomorrow. So hopefully you can't hear it. But if you can, it's just some LA ambiance for you. Anyway, what was I talking about? I think then, like, artistically speaking, art is obviously super subjective, and everyone who comes in contact with something that you make is going to perceive it differently. Which I think especially in like performance related fields where the artistry like is you, this gets even harder to mentally deal with. I really couldn't imagine being extremely famous for this reason. I remember watching an interview with SZA where she talked about how much she hates being perceived, which honestly, let me just pull it up and play it. Okay, here it is.
I hate being perceived. I hate coming outside. Mm-hmm. I don't want to party. I don't want anybody to even look at me, honestly. I don't want to take pictures. I hate being on video. It's the bane of my existence. It makes me really, really uncomfortable to a way that, like I cry. And, you know, I took a lot of calm gummies before I sat down here. But being perceived, especially visually, is, like, my number one, like, I'm uncomfortable right now kind of thing. And with this new level of like attention with the album, it's like I never had an issue with paparazzi in my life. I never had an issue with, you know, going viral for like small things that I think are small in my life or any of those things. So then I had to sit down and really be like, no, for real, get a process fast.
Yeah, that's the interview. I think it's so interesting how people who are like more introverted end up being performers. Like, it's just so fascinating to me because I don't think I would have become a performer if I were any more of an introvert than I already am. And I'm definitely like, I lean more extroverted. But I have a lot of introverted tendencies. And when I'm feeling that way, I don't want to be perceived. I don't want to be on stage. I don't want, like, it's so difficult for me to get myself to do it. So I just, like, can't imagine in the moments when I really feel that way, like, I can't imagine being, like, SZA's level of famous. And I just wonder if, like, you know, maybe she never expected or intended to be as famous as she is. Also, it was so weird. I was reading the comments on that video and people were just, like, arguing about her in the comments. And a lot of people were being like, she's lying. Like, she's just lying. She loves to lie. And I was like, who are you to say that she's lying, you know? You're not in her head. Which, again, it was, like, sort of ironic, like, watching her talk about how much she hates being perceived and then having people just, like, project their own, like, beliefs about her into the comments, which, like, is any comment section ever. But I was just kind of laughing at that. Which, I don't know if I missed something about SZA being a liar, but, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, if that... I feel like she was speaking her truth there, and I believe her. This also makes me think about how people who are in the public eye and are actually very shy often get misperceived. Is that a word? They get perceived as being rude when really that perception is just like an incorrect assumption based on a lack of information about that person's true nature. And I feel like that's like... I feel like that's something we see a lot. And like, I've started trying to approach my interactions with people more from this angle. And instead of just jumping to like, oh, that person was rude to me just because they were standoffish, asking myself, was that person really being rude? Or did I just perceive the situation based on my own lack of information or based on what I wanted to believe about that person in order to make myself feel better, which I think people, consciously or not, I think we do that a lot. I know there are certainly cases where I've been perceived as being rude. And in the times when it's gotten back to me, I remember thinking about that situation and being like, what? Like, I just didn't super engage, or, you know, I was just kind of in my own head. And I really wasn't, like, trying to be a certain way or, like, honestly, half the time I'm, like, disassociating, you know what I mean? I think I'm trying to, like, bring that same level of empathy into my interactions with other people because I know how weird it feels to be like, wait, no, that's not what my perception of how that went was. And it's kind of, like, it can be kind of scary when you think you know how an interaction went, and then later you hear that that other person, like, had a totally different version of events, and, like, it can really, like, make you question yourself. But I just think, like, in cases like that, depending on the situation, I think there is either, like, people projecting their own beliefs or insecurities or whatever onto you. That can happen. Or sometimes, like, two versions of the same event, like, can be true. We're all just stuck inside our own minds. So it makes sense that that happens. I also think, like, a big lesson that I learned in the last couple years is that people are going to perceive you however they want to. And if someone doesn't want to like you, there is almost nothing you can do to convince them otherwise. Like, it just, they've, if someone has made up their mind about you in that way, like, if they don't want to like you, they won't. And anything you do will just kind of, like, further prove to them that they don't like you because they're looking for reasons not to. Does that make sense? I know when I started to really unpack my own feelings around not being liked by other people, I realized that, like, the real issue was I was afraid of not being understood. And I think I reached more of, like, a level of freedom in my interactions with people and with the world when I started to accept that not only is not everyone going to like you, but not everyone is going to understand you either. And in fact, there are times when they will purposefully misunderstand you. There are times when they will misunderstand you and you'll never even know. And you'll never correct it. And they'll just always think that about you. And it's not true. And, like, that's okay. That's, like, been one of the biggest, like, hardest things for me to just let go of is, like, that's fine. They can think that. That's fine. I just think there's too many people that we're going to come into contact with in our lives to try to control any of that. And it just would drive a person crazy because it's an impossible task. So yeah, again, I think, like, while I am really struggling with this again right now, I do think that a big moment for me in my own growth is when I realized this and started to accept it. And now it's like just getting back on that horse of like being, reminding myself that it's okay. And again, I can't imagine how much harder this gets when you're known by millions of people and like most of which have never met you, will never meet you, and have based their assumptions of you on what they've heard about you. It just, ugh, I hate it. I would hate that. I would not do well with fame. And I just know that to be true. I think those are my current thoughts on this. Let's get into what your thoughts are on this. I took to Instagram again. You guys really liked when I did this last time on the episode on monetization. So I thought I'd do it again, and I got some really good replies. So let's start with my friend Tosh. I asked, what is your relationship with perception? And she said, it's rocky. Some days I feel like I'm the baddest bitch ever and I don't care how anyone sees me. And other days I feel so hyper aware of how everyone, quote, views me. I put views me in quotes because I obviously am assuming and making up what I think they think. Totally. Yeah, I think this is like what I was just saying, where you're kind of basing your, you're like perceiving how someone else is perceiving you. And that could be true or not true. But also to tie it back to self-acceptance, I think it doesn't really matter what people think of you when you are feeling good about yourself. And I know this to be true because I've had eras of my life where I was deeply accepting of myself. And if someone said something mean or untrue about me, I literally did not give a fuck. Because I was like, no, I know that's not true. And that's all that matters. But on the flip side, my first cue that I need to do my like self-love work is when I start worrying about what other people are thinking about me. And that's it. So like, yeah, exactly what she said is like, on the days when I feel like a bad bitch, I don't care how anyone sees me. But when I'm feeling hyper aware of myself and I'm feeling insecure, that is like the first thing to go. Okay, the next one, my friend Jocelyn said, the TLDR for me is terrified of being negatively perceived, but desperately wanting validation while also recognizing that you can't get the second without potentially receiving the first. True. And then she said, realizing I also feel the flip of this, which is terrified of being positively perceived and then failing to consistently and or continually meet the expectations established by that perception. Also so real. I don't know if I have a whole lot to add to this because you just really summed it up so well. But I think like you said, like you can't get the second, which is the validation, without also like risking getting the first, or for sure getting the first, which is being perceived negatively. And I think, like, we just have to get to a point with ourselves with where, like, we're okay with both. Or maybe, like, we don't need the validation at all, which is hard. It's just, like, external validation is, like, a very human thing to want. And then as for the second part of what you said, being terrified of being positively perceived and then failing to consistently meet the expectations established by that perception, I think I dealt with this as a kid a lot. Like, I don't know if I've talked about this before. I think I have, but I used to, like, purposefully mess up when I was practicing the piano. This is so silly. This is such a, like, 8-year-old thing to do, but I would purposefully mess up, even though I could play the piece perfectly, if, like, quite well, if not perfectly. I would mess up on purpose so that people wouldn't, like, expect perfection of me. I think that's really what I was doing, is I was just protecting myself from having to continually meet a standard that I wasn't sure I could meet or wasn't sure I wanted to meet. And then, like, as a person, I think it's really easy to start doing this in our relationships. It's good to remember that, like, just everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. I think as a person, it's good to remind ourselves that we're never going to continually meet those expectations. Like, we just aren't. And that's fine. It's fine. It's hard to remember that, but it's totally fine. Next one, my friend Jordan McCampa. He's a really talented musician. You should listen to his music. He responded and he said, "As an artist, I feel as though there is an expectation of who I am that I need to adhere to based on how I am perceived online through the content I post and engage with. That's not me saying that who I am online isn't who I am offline. I feel as though I'm the same exact person in any iteration, maybe slightly more reserved in some situations than others, but still very much the same me I try to be always. However, I feel as though it's presented difficulties for me, at least in relationships, where in the past multiple fans have left comments on my social media saying things like, 'I love you, I'm in love with you, marry me,' etc., etc. Which, if you're somebody's partner, can be difficult to see if you're not used to seeing somebody interact with your person in such a way, plus not fully understanding that it's not genuine romantic love that they feel, but a personified conception of me that they've placed onto me. I know full well that these people aren't actually in love with me. It's the idea of me that they love, a parasocial romantic idolization." Yeah, I'm really glad I had someone who has a fan base respond to this, because that's, like, a whole can of worms. Parasocial relationships are so weird. It is really, like, a one-sided relationship that we form with someone who we know but doesn't know us. And honestly, it's we don't even know them. We know of them, but we don't really know them. But social media can make us feel like we know them. And it's so weird, like, for the first time really, like, in history, in, like, the history of humanity, we have this concept of parasocial relationships. Like, prior to the digital age into, like, I remember my first parasocial relationships were with YouTubers when I was in high school, because they were sharing so much of their everyday lives. It really felt like we knew them and, like, they were our friend. But prior to that, it's like you could be a fan of someone. Like, obviously, like, the Beatles had a huge fan base, but, you know, not even like interviews weren't even, like, as big of a thing as they are now. So it's like they really didn't have much of a personal relationship with their fans the way that we do now. So yeah, then bringing it back to, like, having a partner who isn't used to that kind of attention and that kind of dynamic, I can see how it would be really weird to be like, well, this is my relationship, but there's all these other people who think that they also have a relationship with my partner. Like, that's such a weird thing, but it's also not real. Like, it's all one-sided. And it, like he said, is based on the idea of him. It's not them really knowing him and being in love. And like, fans do overstep a lot, which has been a conversation we've been having a lot recently with like Chapel Roan. And I don't know if in this situation that's what's happening, beyond just like comments that may or may not be inappropriate depending on, you know, the situation, whatever. But like, we've been talking about like, hey, like, it's not cool to leak my parents' address. It's actually not cool to leak my phone number and call me 500 times. It's actually very scary for me when you do that. And like, you wouldn't do that for a normal person. So why do you think that it's okay to do that with me just because I'm famous? Just because I'm famous, I've like accepted that this is just part of it. And it's like, no, like, Chapel Roan is a singer. She didn't also sign up to like deal with all of this other bullshit. And she obviously knew that that was part of it, but why does it have to be? And I'm really glad that she's been speaking up about it and like stop normalizing it. Stop just letting it happen. It's weird. It's weird and it's not cool and it's scary. And we kind of do like dehumanized celebrities and forget that, like, if we were in their shoes and someone like leaked our address or was stalking us, like, we would be terrified. It's not any different. Anyway, I know that's not what he was saying in this case, but it still makes me think of that. And I think, like, just the conversation about like how we treat people who are in the public eye, because I don't know why we feel so okay with treating them like they're not human and doing things that would not be acceptable in any other social interaction. But just because they're a celebrity, like, is it like a safety in numbers thing where you feel comfortable acting weird just because like there's a lot of other people who also feel comfortable doing that? Like, I don't get it. Yeah, so I am glad that we're having this conversation more. Okay, next one is from my friend Krista. She said, I've been thinking lately on how others not in the arts or entertainment industry perceive someone to be successful. As an artist, I guess that goes into myself getting curious on how people perceive me to possibly be, quote, unsuccessful if I or many artists just constantly put themselves through failing, being rejected. So with that, I wonder how others nurture themselves and continue to not care about negative perception from others when many fail to understand that an actor's journey or a performer's journey is a marathon. And because someone isn't in a show after show situation, it doesn't discredit all the work they put in behind closed doors toward hopefully the opportunity that is meant for them. That might be a huge career leap for them. Yeah, totally. It is hard to disconnect ourselves from what someone like working a typical job or like with a typical career trajectory, like to disconnect ourselves with from what that person might think of us. And that person could be our parents or our friends or our siblings, our partner, like people who don't even really know us, people who just like watch our stories on Instagram, you know? The road to success as an artist isn't a straight one. And so it is so easy to compare ourselves to other people, but it's like not, like, you can't even compare yourself to other artists because like, again, there's no like step-by-step formula to become successful as an actor or a singer or whatever. So everyone kind of just has their own timeline with it and like just keeps building off of the opportunities that are presented to them individually. It is a marathon. It's like sometimes it takes, you know, sometimes people get lucky right away and have massive success really young, which can then create a whole other set of problems. And others like work for years and years and years before they book that one thing or have that hit song or whatever it is. But I also just, I personally don't like to equate success to those like more outward moments of success, if that makes sense. Like, I feel successful as a songwriter and a performer when I'm just like doing work that I love and that I'm proud of, whether or not it like looks good on paper or it's like moving my career along in a way that other people can really see. And yeah, so much work does go in behind closed doors that other people can't see. I think we do at a certain point just have to be okay with other people who aren't in the industry that we're in just like not getting it. Maybe judging us and perceiving us as unsuccessful. But it's not their life, you know? They can go be a doctor or whatever they want to be. That's not an artist, you know? And that's great. But that's not what I want to do. And just because like my timeline to quote unquote success looks different than yours, that doesn't mean that I'm like less successful than you. Like, it just, I don't really see it that way. And I do like resent that. I also think in this field specifically, like performing arts, I've been thinking a lot recently about how like when we're really young, I think performers, we get the like little fame worm put in our brain that tells us like you should want to be famous. And like that is a goal that you should eventually reach by a certain age. And like once you're famous, you've made it. I'm kind of like finally starting to accept that I don't actually think I want to be famous. And that was something that was kind of put on me by other people, because being successful as a singer or a songwriter or an actor or whatever is equated with fame. In like any aspect of the entertainment industry, when you're entertaining people, like the ideal version of that is to be entertaining as many people as possible. But I actually think that it's okay to, and also like perfectly reasonable to be successful and like make good money as a performer without being famous. And to like not even really want to be famous. I don't think the two actually have to go hand in hand. And so I've been like undoing my own complex that has been just like living in my brain for basically my whole life around fame and around feeling like I should want fame, or like maybe I do want fame, or all of these, like just kind of undoing that and being like, actually, maybe it's okay if I'm never famous. Maybe I'm actually not cut out for that, and maybe I don't want it. And then also on top of that, then being okay with like, okay, like if other people then see me not becoming famous and potentially equating that with like me failing in some way as an artist, like being okay with that. Does that make sense? Did I say that correctly? There's this comedian that I really love named Carly Thorne, and she has a great podcast called Girl Historians. And she was talking about this on there because, you know, she has a podcast, she's a content creator, she does like YouTube, and she's a stand-up comedian. And she was like talking about the same thing, like the fame worm that's in our brain from a young age, and like how the more well-known she becomes, the more like uncomfortable she becomes with it, how like she just has like more problems surrounding it now. And she always thought that she wanted that, but now she doesn't know if she actually wants her public image to grow any more than it already has. And she thought she was always cut out for like a life of being really famous, and now she's actually not sure. So it was like nice to hear someone talk about that who is also in the entertainment industry and like reflecting back to me how I've also felt. But yeah, anyway, I think I've kind of lost the plot of the original response here. But it is really hard to not care about what other people think of our careers and about how successful we are or are not. And like, they're not living our lives, you know? I think that's like literally the only answer that you can give yourself is like, again, like it's not a straight path to becoming successful. And the people who aren't on this path won't get it. And that's okay. That's fine. They don't have to. Okay, the next one is from one of my best friends, Lindsay. She sent me this as a voice memo, and I asked her if it was okay if I shared it, and she said that was fine. But yeah, we were having this conversation about perception and about success and all of these things that we're talking about now. So I just wanted to share it.
I know we've talked about it, but I just think it's so important to for both of us to remind ourselves that how we're feeling is normal, and like everyone feels behind and everyone feels like they're not doing enough with their life, and like not even just in career, but like life period. Like I think everyone feels like they're not doing enough, or they're not doing it right, or they're wasting talent, you know, they're not utilizing their skills, or you know, what if I was supposed to do this with my life, or what if I was supposed to do this. Like I think everyone feels that way. I know I feel that way right now, especially with like with the what if I'm not doing enough, because I think it's also really hard when you know you have a talent and you don't quite know what to do with it. And I think that relates to like your incredible voice and your songwriting and like how those things can work in tandem, but maybe how you don't want them to, and you don't want to be a performer, but maybe you do. And like, what if you're supposed to be a star, and like, or what if you're supposed to be a songwriter? Like, it's so, nobody has that answer for you, and you probably don't have that answer for you. It's just going to be like what life ends up throwing at you. I think, I mean, that's at least what I have sort of gathered, because I don't know who or what I'm supposed to be either. And I've just sort of, I'm trying, I'm not really succeeding at it right now, but I'm trying to just get better at trusting that what will be, but that's really hard to put into practice in your head. I think it's also just really hard being in an industry, you know, both of us are in an industry that you are just constantly at the fucking mercy of subjective opinions all of the time. Like, at least if we worked in an office, we could get a fucking objective, like, you didn't do the data sheet right, or you didn't do this and this, or you are doing this, or you aren't doing that. Like, we as artists are in a world that is completely subjective. We could be the most talented, most gifted artist to one group of people and the opposite to another. And that is always really hard for me to stomach, because I'm like, again, a Capricorn. I love blending things on being a Capricorn. It's so fun. But I know for me, I like to have the facts. I like for things to be factual, to the point, and like obvious. And subjectivity like really stresses me out. And I think it stresses a lot of artists out, especially when you don't feel sturdy in your own feelings about what you want to do and what you want to create.
Yeah. I love you, Lindsay. Yeah, subjectivity is awful. Like I said earlier, it's like you could create something and put it out into the world, and it's going to be perceived a million different ways by a million different people. And that's sort of a beautiful thing, and also a really stressful thing. I've struggled for a long time with putting out my own music. I've talked about this all the time on here. Just because of that whole like thing of just letting go of how it's perceived by everyone who ends up hearing it, and accepting that, like, not even that people will like it or won't like it, because I'm okay with that, but like that some people won't get it, and some people will misinterpret what I'm saying in my lyrics, and it's so scary. And I'm really struggling with vulnerability right now in my life, so then wanting to be really vulnerable in my lyrics is just feels like a, I just feel very repelled by that. So I've, you know, mostly been writing for other people, which, you know, is like what I want to do. Like, I want to make money doing that, and I love doing that. And I've said before, like, I don't really care about fame or money when it comes to like my own music. That's kind of separate to me. But when I write for other people, like, that's where I feel comfortable being seen and heard. And that's what I feel comfortable monetizing too. But I recently had a run-in with a stranger the other day that kind of like irked me. But then I was like, why do I feel irked by this? Because I don't need to explain myself to this person who literally doesn't know me. But he was asking me what I do. And I was like, oh, I'm a songwriter. And he was like, oh, let me hear your stuff. And I was like, oh, I don't have anything out. Like, I, at this point, I'm, you know, working on my own projects. But for the most part, I am in LA just, you know, writing pop music for pitch to record labels and helping other songwriters write their music. And I want to get into writing for Sync and stuff like that. And he was like, okay, so you're a songwriter, but you don't have any music out. And I was like, yeah. Okay. I'm working on it, you know? But yeah, it can become just like, just that person's perception of me literally doesn't matter, because I feel confident and okay with where I'm at right now. And I feel okay with what I'm doing. And it doesn't matter what he thinks. But yeah, going back to what Lindsay said, it's like the first part of what she said. It is so confusing to feel like, you know, how far do I actually want to take this? And what parts of it am I comfortable sharing or not sharing? And, you know, maybe I'm supposed to be a star. Maybe I'm not fully living my potential. Maybe I'm holding myself back. Or maybe I'm not meant to be a star. I'm meant to kind of do things more in the background. And maybe I'm okay with that. And maybe I can still be really successful doing that. And yeah, just like the conversation I was having before, like letting go of what other people may think about that. Because it's your life and it's like what makes you happy. But it's also hard to figure out actually what you want to do and what makes you happy. And I think that's, you know, that's what Lindsay was saying, is like, I don't even know if I'm doing it right. And none of us know if we're doing it right. So I think it's helpful to actually just like kind of take your hands off the wheel a little bit and be like, okay, I'm just going to see where this takes me. And I'm just going to keep following what makes me happy and what brings me joy and what makes me curious, instead of doing what I feel like I should do. Because who even knows what we should do? There is no should. Okay, I'm going to do two more and then I'm going to wrap it up because I have to go to work. This is from my friend Catherine, who is an opera singer. She said, dealing with perception feels like an interconnected issue for me. Also, bear with me, this might overlap with some of my personal anxiety issues, lol. In my art, I feel comfortable in performance usually because I'm not truly presenting as myself in all my introvert glory. There's a purpose to being on stage for me and a clear goal in what I want to achieve, so I can give what I can give to the audience and they can take it how they want. So my feelings about the perception of the audience, if I perceive them perceiving in a negative or positive way, I'm less affected. Okay, this is long, so I'm just going to respond to each part as I have thoughts. I guess this answers my question from earlier of like, how do introverted people become performers? And she's saying like, it's because I'm not truly presenting as myself. There's a purpose to being on stage for me and a clear goal in what I want to achieve. So I give what I give and they take how they want it. That's like, that's so healthy. I love that. I've also felt this way as a performer, like, especially when I'm playing a role too. I've talked about this so many times. Like, when I'm playing a role, I'm wearing a mask in a way. And like, if people don't like the mask I'm wearing, that's fine. They can not like the mask. It's not really me. It's like it's a certain performance of me as someone else. Or even if I'm playing myself, I'm still like playing a caricature of myself in a way. So I totally get that. Then she says, I think a lot of my perspective on this type of perception comes from the work I've done to separate my self-worth from my singing, aka not literally destroying myself over dumb mistakes. Of course, fear rears its ugly head still, but I feel more in control and I'm able to let go of the uncontrollable being perceived more easily. Yeah, separating your self-worth from your singing and not literally destroying yourself over dumb mistakes, it's so hard to do. But I also kind of started to come to that place when I was like auditioning a lot and had some really bad auditions. And then when I was performing a lot, there was a time in my life where I was doing 5 shows a day, 5 days a week. And like, I had some pretty bad vocal cracks. I've had moments where I've forgotten lines. I have like, and like the show went on, you know? And that one moment of me messing up is not indicative of my overall talent. I think that's like really important to remember. Socially, in person, I have social anxiety. In the wild, the fear of being perceived is pretty high for me, which maybe means I need to get out more. I know my fear of social perception stems from maybe looking dumb, not having something worth saying, my own self-perception, esteem, etc. And this type of fear often becomes self-fulfilling if unchecked, and if one allows itself to be overtaken by anxiety to clam up. This is like what I was saying earlier, like these things do become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like when you are not being kind to yourself, basically, it's more likely that people will not be kind to you. And also, like, again, I really hope it makes anyone feel better. I worry every time I get on this mic about what I'm gonna say and about sounding stupid or about saying something and then like in 6 months listening to it back and being like, I actually don't agree with that anymore. And having to have it just like live online, that's something I'm so uncomfortable with. And I'm like in a room by myself right now, but I feel that like social anxiety like really strongly. I think I'm not super easily embarrassed in real life anymore. I definitely used to be more. I think we're all self-conscious, like whether we want to admit it or not, to a certain degree. And that's fine. Some of the most confident people I know, I've seen them have insecure moments, and that like just humanizes them to me and makes me love them more. So I think when we can like remember that, I don't get easily embarrassed if I like fall and eat shit in front of a bunch of people. Like I'm like, okay. And we've all done it. So I think like giving yourself grace is a really big part of overcoming social anxiety, actually. She says, sometimes I truly just don't want to be perceived at all and just melt into the wall. Same. She said, online, I feel pretty uncomfy being perceived online because it's not the best place for nuanced conversation. True. I feel like it definitely takes some level of vulnerability to express yourself online, whether you intend to be sincere or not, and understand that it's going to be looked at, taken different ways, and be okay with it. Also, the fact that our digital footprint is fairly permanent contributes to a higher fear of being perceived. Yeah, that's literally exactly what I was just saying. She says, fan bases. I don't have one and I don't want one. I don't envy the famous. So it's funny that I would choose an art where having some sort of fan base or patrons would probably help my career. If I ever gain some sort of following, I guess I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Yeah, it is true that fame is a resource. It is. But it does create such a complicated emotion around what you do when you're like, I don't think I want that resource because it would help me, but I also like don't want everything that comes with it, which then goes back to the Chapel Roan conversation of it's like, well, then why do we have to have all of these negative things that come with it? Like we have created this, you know, and we don't have to keep just being okay with it. She says, I think the gist is that everything outside of doing the actual art relating to perception is difficult sometimes as someone who is an introvert. Therefore, I try to not let this fear of being perceived creep into my art as much as possible. Lessons to be learned. I try to remind myself that life truly isn't so serious. All I can do is the best possible work I can with the best intentions, learn from any fumbles I make, and accept that I will be perceived positively, negatively, indifferently, no matter what I do in art or almost anything else. So well said. Thank you for sharing all of that, Catherine. Thank you for so eloquently putting all of these thoughts together for me to share on here. Again, I just like want to make a space for people to feel seen and heard and like normalize these things. So thank you for sharing. I love you so much. And I think you're a star. And I am so, like, honestly in awe of anyone who, like, has a consistent amount of anxiety and, like, continues to put themselves in situations where that is challenged. I think that's like such an amazing feat.
Okay, this is me later. I totally forgot to respond to a response from my cousin Grant, who asked me if I was familiar with the concept of the looking glass self, and I was not. And I looked it up, and it's so interesting. So the looking glass self theory is a sociological theory that explains how people develop their sense of self by basing it on how they think others perceive them. The theory's name comes from the idea that a person's identity is a reflection of how others see them, like in a mirror. The theory was developed by American sociologist Charles Horton Cooley and introduced in his 1902 work, Human Nature and the Social Order. It's based on the idea that people use social interactions as a mirror to measure their own values, worth, and behavior. The theory also suggests that people's thoughts and feelings about themselves are based on the responses of others, which can be real or perceived. Here's some key points for the looking glass self theory. Interactionist perspective. I have not heard that word before. Interactionist perspective. Identity is the result of interactions with others and cannot develop in isolation. Primary groups. People who are most influential in a person's self-development are likely to be a family member or close friends. And steps. The looking glass theory involves three steps. Imagining how one looks to others, imagining how others will judge one based on how they think one views them, and imagining how the person views one based on their previous judgments. That is so interesting. And then I asked him. He described it in a slightly different way. Yeah, so he said it's basically like the idea that we see ourselves, base our personality on how we perceive other people's perceptions of us. So like a biased perception of a biased perception. That is crazy. I feel like that's so social media to me. Which is where social media gets so tricky, because it's like you're being perceived by so many people at once. So it's like if you're basing your self-worth off of like all of those different perceptions of you, it becomes like so muddy.
Okay, I'm looking more. This is a website called Psychology Fanatic. So it has to be legitimate. This is an article on this theory, and it kind of explains the three steps a little better. So it's 1, imagination of others' perception. We often try to imagine how others perceive us. We absorb cues such as their verbal and nonverbal cues, body language, and reactions. Basically, we scan others for cues to their internal perceptions. Totally. Interpretation of others' evaluation. Once we have imagined how others perceive us, we interpret their evaluation. We step into their mind, so to speak, through a process we refer to in psychology as theory of mind. If we interpret that someone sees us as intelligent, attractive, or talented, we tend to internalize those perceptions. On the other hand, if we sense negative evaluation, we might develop a negative self-image. Oh my god, this is so interesting, because that's totally true. I feel like I also just like act differently around people for this reason, which I try not to do, but I'm not very good at it. Like, I really do think that I like respond to the way that other people respond to me. And it kind of like can influence what aspects of my personality become more present based on like if I think that they think I'm funny, or if I think that they might be attracted to me, or like it's just, yeah. And I feel that's super normal. Like, this theory is literally saying that, yeah, we do that. That's so interesting. Oh, and then the third one is emotional response. The final stage involves emotions. Our interpretation of others' evaluation influences our emotions, which can either boost or diminish our self-esteem. Positive evaluation tends to make us feel good about ourselves, whereas negative evaluation may lead to feelings of self-doubt and insecurity. The point here is we respond emotionally to our interpretations, whether those interpretations are accurate or not. Cooley specifically names pride and shame as the feeling responses to our interpretation. Yeah. This is where, like, self-concept work is super important. I got into this a couple years ago with like reprogramming my brain through doing affirmations, so that kind of like no matter how other people were responding to me, I still felt okay in me, and it didn't like rock my boat as much, because my like subconscious program that was running became like positive self-talk rather than negative. So if someone else didn't like me or whatever, it just, I knew that I liked me. So it was, I felt okay with me. So it didn't faze me as much. I think I've backslid on this a little bit. I need to do my affirmations again, clearly. But it still like really like laid the groundwork for my brain. And I kind of recommend it to everyone. I think it's super important to do. Oh, this is so interesting. This is kind of the reverse of what I was talking about earlier with like the self-fulfilling prophecy of when we act insecure, other people will believe us. This is like the reverse of that, is when we internalize others' perceptions of us, it can affect our behavior and attitude. For example, if someone constantly tells us we're not good enough, we might start believing it and act accordingly. This theory highlights the power of words and their impact on self-perception. Yep. So true. That's like part of the reason why, especially in the entertainment industry, you have to have thick skin. You have to really, really believe in yourself and in your talent and in like all of these things, because people will tell you you're not good enough. They just will. It can be random people online. It can be people like casting directors. It can be like mentors. And this is also why it's so important on like a more interpersonal level to like positively affirm your friends and your family and like strangers too. I always try to like, it's a good habit to have. If I see something like, I don't know, if someone's hair looks nice, even like instead of just thinking it in my brain, I've started to try and like just make myself say it. Because those things just like over time are like, you know, the things that I love about my friends that aren't just surface level, like really expressing those things to them. Because I think it's like over time, those things make an impact. I hope that like my friends can see themselves with the same loving perspective that I see them with. And vice versa, I am trying to see myself through the lens of my friends who I know like love me very deeply, rather than through the perspective of people who maybe don't like me. Anyway, I think that's like enough on this, but so interesting. I'm really glad that Grant brought this up. Thank you so much, because that just added like so much more interesting context to this conversation. Anyway, okay, let's move on. Okay, last one. I feel like this is a good one to end on. This is my friend Brett, who has been on the show. She said, I've always lived by the thought of how you choose to perceive me is completely out of my control and also not my problem. Like, I simply cannot be responsible for how others perceive me. I love my friends and my family and always do my best to be the kindest person in the room simply because I love people and not because I'm afraid of who they think I am if I'm not kind. I just am gonna be me and let the rest rock. Say that. I love you. Yeah, this is something that I love about Brett, is she is just like so secure. And I think this level of like, I don't give a fuck is something that I have definitely felt and have reached. I think I oscillate with it a little bit more than she does. And right now I'm in a phase of like feeling more affected by it than usual, like I said, but I still do relate to this. And I think it's true. It's literally what I was saying earlier, like how you choose to perceive me is completely out of my control and not my problem. It's not my problem. It's not my problem if you don't like me. It's not my problem if you think my art is bad. It's not my problem. Like, whatever it is, it's not my problem. Unless I know that I have actually caused someone harm and I owe them an apology, it's not my problem. And usually people are just projecting their own insecurities onto you, like I said. And again, like, if people decide not to like you, there's nothing that you can do to convince them otherwise. So it just doesn't matter. It's out of your control. And that has been like the best reminder for me. And like, honestly, the only thing that's really brought me peace in moments when I've felt really consumed by this. I know that I'm a good person. I know I'm a good friend. if I'm proud of the work that I'm doing, then that's what matters. It doesn't matter what other people think. It just doesn't.
All right, well, I'm going to end the episode here. Crazy how every time I do this, I sit down and I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to say. I hate this. I hate this microphone. I feel stupid. I sound stupid. And then by about like the halfway point, I've become really relaxed and I feel like I'm actually being myself and like I've just gotten out of my own head and I'm like, no, actually, I do have things to say and I do know what I'm talking about and I don't sound stupid. Or if I do, it's fine. So anyway, thank you so much for listening and bearing with me as always on this. My show and tell. I almost forgot. Okay. So this is if you don't know, this is the segment of the show where I talk about something that like a piece of art that has inspired me recently or that I've just really been loving. So this one is really top of mind right now. And it's perfect because it's Halloween. So I'm going to give you a little spooky recommendation. You've probably already seen it because everyone has. I'm just very late to the party. But if you haven't, The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix is amazing. It's a limited series. It is so much more than just like a paranormal ghost haunting story. This was so good. And Brett recommended it in the episode that we did. If I sound out of breath, it's literally because I'm like laying in my bathtub at this like awkward angle and it's making it like really hard for me to talk. Oh my god. The ice cream truck did this to me. Anyway, I finally watched it after many people had been telling me to for like 2 years. And it was so good. It's just so much more than like just a scary movie. Like it is a story about grief, about trauma, about family dynamics. And it's all wrapped up in the story of this haunted house, but in a way that like isn't cheesy or contrived at all. And it made me cry. So definitely watch it if you haven't. Like Brett was saying, Mike Flanagan is an incredible writer and director. And yeah, seriously, so, so, so good. Go watch it. All right, you guys, that's all for today. Thank you so much for listening. I would love to know your thoughts. So you can DM me on Instagram or you can leave a review if you have Apple Podcasts. I would literally love you, kiss you, hug you if you did that. Anyway, yeah, that's all. I think that's all I have to say. As much as I hate being perceived, I really do love doing this and I love hearing everyone's feedback and I love it when you guys tell me that something that was talked about on here like helped you or resonated with you. Like that's literally all I could want. So thank you so much. And I will see you guys next month. Bye. I'm an Artist is created and produced by me. Theme music is also by me and cover art is by Colby Kasaka. Both of our links will be in the description. Until next time, bye.